will be helpful to turn back in your Bibles to Matthew 6, to Matthew's account of the Lord's Prayer. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this, one of the most well-known passages of the Bible, this Lord's Prayer. And while it's one of the most well-known parts of the Bible, it's my reckoning that it's also one of the most neglected parts of the Bible. Maybe you're wondering to yourself, well, how can something be so well known and yet also so much neglected at the same time? Well, surely, friends, is it not the case that the vast majority of people who know this prayer, who know this passage, they perhaps know the form of words here. They perhaps know the ordering, the pattern of words, but they've never grasped their true meaning. And they've never gone under the surface of this prayer, exploring the wonderful depths that are here. They might be able to recite this prayer in a parrot-like fashion, but they don't love this prayer. They don't live this prayer. They don't pray this prayer in their normal praying. I wonder, friends, how many of us would fall into that same category ourselves. We might know this model prayer. We might be very familiar with this pattern for prayer. But do we live it? Do we love it? Does it show itself in our own praying? That's why it's been so good for us over these last few weeks to break down this prayer into its little phrases and to consider them one by one. So far, we've just thought about the opening two lines, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name," reminding ourselves that even before we come to pray, it's worth stopping for a minute, remembering who we're speaking to, our Father in heaven. And just last week, we saw that the first thing we're to ask for, it's nothing to do with ourselves. It's the hallowing, the honoring, the respecting, the revering of God's name. Hallowed be your name. Well, what should we ask for next, we wonder? Can we turn now to our lists of wants and wishes and requests? Can we pull out that shopping list of things that we need from God? Our needs, our necessities, can we turn to them now? Not yet, Jesus says. Not yet. He says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. That's the phrase we want to think about this morning. What should this request look like and sound like in our own praying? If this is something, a pattern for us to be incorporating in our own praying, what does that look like? What does it sound like? Well, 3 points to help us this morning. Firstly, kingdom appreciation. Kingdom appreciation. And that's an important place to begin, isn't it? If we're to pray, your kingdom come, we need to know what we're talking about, don't we? We need to know what this kingdom is. We need to appreciate what it's about. We need to understand this terminology, the vocabulary Jesus is using. What is this kingdom? Well, the kingdom of God is an extremely important thing to understand. This is not a small thing in the Christian life. It's not an obscure sideline of theology that's tucked away in a difficult-to-find place. It's right front and center for us. It's central in God's purposes. It's tremendously important, the kingdom of God. Think of the first recorded words of our Savior. Mark 1, verse 13. He said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." or more explicitly in Luke 4:43, we read that Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." He was sent for the purpose of preaching the kingdom of God. Or just over the page from the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us what our top priority should be in life. This is our call to worship this morning. Seek first the kingdom of God. Or we read in Acts 1:3, that crucial period between Christ's resurrection and his ascension, when he was with his disciples. What was Jesus talking about with his disciples then? What was he teaching his disciples between resurrection and ascension? Acts 1:3, he was speaking about the kingdom of God over and over. I think it's 65 times in the New Testament we have that phrase, kingdom of God. And there's lots of parallel phrases for it as well. This is such a significant part of the Bible's teaching. It's not talking about a geographical kingdom. We mustn't think that. When we use the word kingdom today, normally we're talking about somewhere geographical, somewhere with fixed, clear, physical boundaries. United Kingdom, for instance. The kingdom of God isn't a place like that. Jesus said as much in John 18:36. To Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Or to the Pharisees in Luke 17:20. "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed." In other words, you can't see this kingdom of God. You can't point to it on a map. You can't measure it. What is it then? What is this kingdom of God? Well, quite simply, it's God's reign. The kingdom of God is God's rule, his reign as king. The kingdom of God is about submitting to God's rule in our lives. It's recognizing that we aren't the king of our lives, but submitting ourselves to another king, far greater than ourselves. The kingdom of God means living our lives according to another person's agenda. It means governing our lives. Our lives being governed by another purpose other than our own. It means having kingdom goals, kingdom ambitions. It's having Jesus Christ as king of your life. He calls the shots. His program replaces your program. That's the kingdom of God. God's Son reigning, ruling over your life as king. Not a place so much as a rule. God's reign over your life. Kingdom appreciation. We need to get our heads around what is the kingdom of God. Secondly then, kingdom augmentation. Kingdom augmentation. And by that I mean, when we're praying this prayer, "Your kingdom come," one of the things we're praying for is that God's kingdom would grow and expand, would augment, if you like. That his kingdom would advance and spread. Kingdom augmentation. Now, don't misunderstand. God already rules over the universe. He's already king over it all. He always has ruled over it. He always will rule over it. We were just singing from Psalm 47:7. "God is the king of all the earth." Verse 8. "God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne." He already is king. So how then do we pray for kingdom expansion? How then, what does that mean to pray for his kingdom to grow if he's already king over it all? Well, it's actually a little bit similar to last week's phrase, hallowed be your name. Because God's name, as we thought last week, God's name is already infinitely holy. His name is already high and lifted up. It's already great. But when we pray, hallowed be your name, we're praying that it would appear greater in our lives, that it would appear greater in the lives of men and women and boys and girls. So we're not asking God to change, but so much as asking, we're asking that we would change, that life down here would change. And it's the same with this request, your kingdom come. We're not asking for God to change one iota, but we're asking that things here may change, that the world around us, that we ourselves, that we would become increasingly under the sway of this kingdom, that more and more people would transfer from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's what we're praying for. That those who are presently living in rebellion against Jesus, held captive by the powers of darkness, that they would be brought into the kingdom of light. That's what Paul speaks of in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's what we're praying for. Kingdom transfers. Kingdom expansion. We're praying, in effect, for mission and evangelism. That God's rule would be increasingly extended. Your kingdom come. We're praying for the success of the gospel as it goes out into all the world. We're praying that it would grow one soul at a time. We're praying for people to be born again. Your kingdom come. John 3, verse 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus speaking, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's what we're praying for with this request. Kingdom growth, kingdom extension, kingdom augmentation. Now, how are we doing at praying this prayer? How are we doing at praying this prayer? Jesus is telling us here, in all normal circumstances, long before we even begin to pray for ourselves, long before we turn our thoughts to our own needs, we should be praying for the kingdom. Our great longing, our great desire should be that God's kingdom would come in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. We should be praying for the conversion of souls. Before asking for anything for ourselves, in all normal circumstances, one of the first things we pray for, the expansion of the kingdom. So what about our prayers then? What about our collective gatherings for prayer? Because this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, does assume that we do gather to pray together. It does assume, it takes it for granted that Christians pray together. So when we pray together, what are we praying for? Are we praying for kingdom expansion? Or are we caught up praying for colds and coughs, for operations and old age? Yes, we should pray for those things. But they come secondary. They come way down the list, actually. Kingdom expansion comes way up the list. It's a good thing, then, that once a month before our morning service, we gather for a missionary prayer meeting. And this is what we're praying for, kingdom expansion. whether it's a Nantes or Galway or Edinburgh or Australia. In our evenings, we've begun praying regularly for the persecuted church. We're praying for kingdom expansion, that the kingdom would grow in some of the most difficult places in the world. As we think of organizations like the Christian Institute, Open Doors, Release International, Barnabas Fund, European Missionary Fellowship, Arab World Missions, we should be praying that their work would serve to expand and advance God's kingdom. Christian Witness to Israel, we should be praying for the conversion of the Jews, that God would soften their hearts, bring them to bow their knee before Jesus as King. Kingdom expansion, extension. But it would be a hypocritical thing, wouldn't it, to pray this prayer, "Your kingdom come." It would be hypocritical to pray that and never lift a finger to try and win the lost. It would be a hypocritical thing, wouldn't it, to pray for our loved ones to come into the kingdom, but never to tell them about the kingdom, and never to share with them the good news of the kingdom. Kingdom expansion, it ought to be one of our great priorities in prayer. And it's not just out there. It's not just in terms of mission and global extension. This is in here too. It's in here too. It would be terrible, wouldn't it, if I preached about the kingdom of God and never asked if you were in it. Never asking if you were in it. Are you in the kingdom of God? Can you say this morning that Jesus is your Lord? He's your King. That's the question. And even when we might be able to say that, even though we might belong to Christ this morning, the truth is there's all kinds of pockets of resistance in our hearts and lives to his rule, to his kingship. So this prayer, "Kingdom, your kingdom come," it's not just about adding people to the kingdom. It's about increasingly submitting ourselves to the kingdom. We're praying for God's kingdom to expand in here, inside us. Your kingdom come. Lord, I would love for more to be added to your kingdom. I'm praying that it would extend and advance. I'm also praying for that within myself, O Lord, that your kingdom would extend inside me, that I would submit myself more and more fully to what you ask of me, what you call of me. Sad to say, most of us, we're quite happy to say Jesus is Lord over most of our lives. Most of us would rather, though, that his kingdom, that it wouldn't extend to our bank accounts. We would rather his kingdom wouldn't apply to our internet use. We would rather his kingdom wouldn't have much to say about our relationships or this or that part of my life. But while we've breath in our bodies, we need to pray this prayer for ourselves. Your kingdom come. Take all of me, Lord. Rule over every part of me. Be the Lord of my bank account. Be the king of my internet use. Be the ruler, the master of all my relationships. Your kingdom come. Are we praying this request? Bring me increasingly to my knees before you, Lord. Make me a willing and loyal subject of King Jesus. Kingdom augmentation. Praying for it to grow and extend and advance. So, kingdom appreciation and kingdom augmentation. Thirdly, kingdom anticipation. Kingdom anticipation. Yes, in one sense, the kingdom of God has already come. It's here. It's inside us. The rule and reign of God over men and women and boys and girls. The kingdom of God is here and now. But the Bible makes it clear also that the kingdom of God is something that's also in the future. It's here, yes, and it's spreading and growing, yes, but it's not yet fully here. It's now, but it's also not yet. In his Last Supper, in Luke 22, verse 18, after drinking the cup, Jesus said, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Until the kingdom of God comes. Quite clearly, the kingdom of God is still to come in all of its fullness. It's here. It has come to some extent, but it hasn't fully come. This is something Jesus makes clear in his parables. Whether he's speaking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, he explains, he illustrates this concept. We read about the mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds planted into the ground. Something definitive has happened, Jesus says. And there, unseen, away from human eyes, it's growing and it's changing. But there's coming a day when that seed will grow into the largest of all the plants. But it's gradual. It's slow. And so it is with the kingdom of God, Jesus is teaching. It's here, it's now, it's real, it's active, it's expanding. But so much of it is hidden and unseen. But a day is coming when it will be the largest of all the plants, so to speak. We know this in our own experience, don't we? Having come to Christ, a decisive change has happened within us. We've been born again by the Spirit of God, but we've entered the kingdom of God, but we're still sinners, aren't we? And we still feel the pull of sin. And we still wrestle against the world and against our sinful desires, against the devil. We say the kingdom of God is, yes, it's here, it's now, but it must be not yet as well, because it's come in my life, but it's not yet fully here. We see the same in the world, don't we? Jesus has come, the kingdom of God has come, but the world is not yet perfect. There's still suffering and sickness. There's crime and corruption. So when we pray this request of the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come," one of the things we're praying for is for that day when the kingdom of God will come in all its fullness. We're praying for that day when God will forever end temptation. He will forever end trials. He will forever end sin and suffering. Lord Jesus, come back, you're praying. Come back. Stop the sinning in this world. Stop the mockery and the reproach of your name. We long, God, for that day when your kingdom will spread from shore to shore. This was the constant longing of the early church, you know. You can sense, as you read through the New Testament, you can almost feel the great longing they had for the day that Christ would return. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. "Our Lord, come," it says. "Our Lord, come." Or 2 Peter 3, verse 13. "We are waiting. We are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth." Or some of the very last words of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 20. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.'" Amen. "Come, Lord Jesus," the word says. You get the feeling that these early Christians, they woke up thinking, perhaps he will return today. Maybe today. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that kind of expectancy? Maybe he'll come back today. Maybe today, Lord. Maybe today you'll usher in your kingdom in all its fullness, in all its glory, in all its splendor. Would you hasten that day, Lord? Would you tarry no longer, as some of the older writers would say? Your kingdom come. Now, do we know anything of this kind of kingdom anticipation, friends? I wonder, could it be in the 2,000 years that have passed, have we lost this sense of anticipation? Could it be that we've become too comfortable, too content even, too happy to be living here in the world? Yes, we're quite happy for Christ to return one day, maybe. One day, we're okay with that. As long as it's way off in the future. Now, we would never say that. We would never say it. Inside, though, we might be thinking, not yet, Lord. Maybe when I'm old, but there's a lot of things I want to do first here. I would like to get a degree. I would like to get a job. I would love to get married and have children. I want to do well in my business. I've my career planned out in front of me, Lord. And then I would love for the day of seeing, holding grandchildren, perhaps. And then, Father, yeah, then your return, Christ's return would be lovely then. You know, I don't think our brothers and sisters in North Korea or Afghanistan or Somalia, I don't think they would have any trouble praying this request. Your kingdom come. I think the sad thing is we've become too easily satisfied with the trinkets of this world. And we aren't yearning for heaven the way we should. Friends, the day is coming when Christ will return. His return will be real. It will be physical. It will be visible. It will be personal. It will be sudden. It will be glorious. It will usher in his everlasting kingdom. And we should be longing with every fiber in our being for that day. That Jesus would come soon, that he would make everything right. Yes, we're members of the kingdom now. And the king has come once before. But he is coming again. He is coming again, maybe even today. And so we pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is how you pray, he said. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Amen.